As was announced, the scripture reading will be taken from the book of Psalm 119, verses 161 through 168. That's Psalm 119, 161 through 168. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
Good to be with you tonight. When do y'all take a piece of paper from up here? I know I put it up here. That's all right. That's all right. I'm going to need that a little later. Oh, boy. Good to be here tonight. Appreciate everyone's presence. One of the most insidious doctrines is one that we've often talked about. That, of course, is Calvinism. And I'm not going to talk about Calvinism much tonight. Only the lesson is kind of centering around or dealing with the last point of Calvinism, the P in the tulip, which is, of course, the perseverance of saints. We sometimes refer to that as the impossibility of apostasy doctrine. And, of course, that is wrong. It is unscriptural. It is a theory that was formulated in the minds of man. We understand the Bible clearly teaches we can fall from grace. We can lose our favor with God. And we know that because there are many passages of Scripture that teaches that, number one. And number two, we even have biblical examples of individuals who have fallen from grace. And even more than that, though, we realize from our study of the Old Testament that the people of God have always been in danger of that. And in fact, the original people of God, the Israelites, they fell out of favor with God, not only once, but over and over again. And so we know it's possible. And we can learn something from the Israelites. From a negative standpoint, we can learn how to avoid falling from grace or falling out of favor with God by the mistakes that they made. And there's too many, of course, to talk about here tonight in the brief time that we'll be preaching tonight. But there's at least three things we learn from the book of Hosea. If you turn your Bible over to Hosea, we find three things that contributed to their falling out of favor with God. And they are things without question that can be avoided. And so tonight we want to look just for a little while at those three things. So open your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. And the first one is a familiar passage, one that has been read and studied and preached upon many times. But Hosea chapter 4 and at verse 6. And the record says in the beginning of it, it simply says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I also will forget your children." And notice the first part of that, of course, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And so the people of God can be destroyed. The people of God can meet destruction. And that was the case with the Israelites of old. And it was because of a lack of knowledge. Fact of the matter is, there's no excuse for any of us to not make it to heaven after a while. God has given us everything we possibly need to make it to heaven. I remember what Peter said. If you turn your Bibles over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice this very carefully. 2 Peter and chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. 2 Peter 1 and at verse 3. Peter writes this. He says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now notice that. All things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything you possibly need, you have. God, by His grace, has given us all things that pertain to life. Not simply physical life, though He does provide for our physical needs. This is talking about the spiritual life that we need to have if we're going to be right with God. Everything that pertains to godliness, God has provided it for us. So where's our excuse? We don't have any excuse. But notice now how that comes. He says that He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. And so it comes through knowledge. And we have all that knowledge, all the knowledge we possibly need. We have it right here in this book we call the Bible. And so it's right before us. All we have to do is study it, meditate upon it, and then, of course, live by it. But you can't live by something you don't know. And so we have to study the Bible. But it is a blessing to have the Scripture. I wrote an article, I think, last week on studying the Bible. And it's so critical that we make up in our minds, we determine that we're going to study the Word of God. You remember the Scripture that we used in that article, 2 Timothy 3, very familiar passage, verse 16. Paul reminds us that the Scriptures are profitable and they're advantageous to us. We can use them to our betterment, not just physically, but again, spiritually. They're profitable. They're profitable for doctrine. And that's important. It's important because if we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, John said in one place that we have not God. And so it's important that we understand the teachings. We know exactly what the teachings of Christ are. This world is filled with people who are lost because they don't know the proper doctrine. Denominational church is filled with people, good people, very good people sometimes. And their only problem is they're going down the wrong path because they don't know the doctrine of Christ. It's important that we know doctrine, and the Scriptures are profitable for that very thing. I remember when I was at Thayer Street towards the end at the time I was there, I'd held a couple of meetings for the church at Bedford, and Harry Rice, I think, was still there during both of the meetings there. But anyway, there was a lady, a woman who called me afterwards, and by this time I had already moved. Now, we were in Louisville at the time, but she called and she was distressed because she was in an unscriptural marriage. And she recognized that. And so now she was in this unscriptural marriage for 7 years. They now had a 13-year-old daughter. And the thing about it was, the thing that was so sad about it was that she sort of knew, she had an inclination before she got into the marriage that something was wrong. She wasn't sure that she had the right to marry. And I can't remember all the details now. I can't remember it was on her end, or I believe it was on his. I think he was married before, but whatever. It doesn't matter. She knew that she was in an unscriptural marriage. She came across a book on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And there were several articles in it, all from different preachers around the country. They all had a chapter. And she was reading a couple of those chapters, and she recognized in one of the chapters the very situation that she was in. Now, here's the sad thing. As I told you a second ago, she had an inclination before she ever married this fellow, that she wasn't sure she had a right to do so. So she went to the preacher that they had and asked him about it, and he said, oh, no, that's no problem at all. God's a forgiving God. You're okay. You can marry this guy. And so she did. And now here, all these years later, they're married. They have a 13-year-old daughter, and she realizes, I'm in a mess. I'm in a marriage that I'm not supposed to be in. All because she turned to the wrong source for doctrine. the scriptures are profitable for doctrine. Listen, there's nothing wrong with listening to a preacher as long as you take whatever he says and you go back and make sure that it aligns with the scriptures. Because that's what's profitable for doctrine, the scriptures. We're blessed. We have such an advantage that we have the scriptures. They're profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof and correction. We all need that from time to time. Profitable for instruction in righteousness. All of that is very valuable, and we have it. And as long as we study it and abide in it, we can remain right with God. But if we don't study it like we should, and we find ourselves, we're weak in knowledge, and so we're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, then our souls are going to be in jeopardy. We might be destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what happened to the Israelites. It's amazing to me when you go back to the book of Judges and you discover, you recall that a whole generation of Jews arose that knew not God. How in the world could that happen? They were the people of God. And God was even interacting with them, speaking to them. And of course, he had his servant Moses and Joshua to lead and guide them and teach them all about the ways of the Lord. And they even had the Ten Commandments and all of that. But a whole generation could grow up and not even know God. It's because they didn't keep the word. They didn't keep the law before them. The parents were instructed to always do that. You keep my word before them. You love me with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. And you keep my commandments before your children. And they failed to do that. And so ultimately, his people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. It could happen to us. It could happen collectively to a congregation. That has happened, as a matter of fact. But more often, it happens to individual Christians. Don't let that happen to you. Don't fall out of favor with God simply because you have a lack of knowledge. And again, don't forget, if that happens, it's our fault. When we go back over to the book of Hosea, did you notice the rest of that? Again, it just says in the beginning, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But it's not because they didn't have the opportunity to have it. Listen to it. He says, because you have rejected knowledge. That was the problem. Now, we have it even to a greater extent than they did. We have the complete Word of God, the written Word, Old and New Testament. It's right here before us. But if we don't study it, we're rejecting it. And he's going to end up rejecting us. We can learn from the Israelites and their lack of knowledge. But there's something else in Hosea. Notice in Hosea, this time chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6 and at verse 4. Let's see here. I'm sorry, verse, let's see. Looking at the wrong passage here. Hosea chapter 6 at verse 4. Here it is. I was looking at chapter 7. Verse 6, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? This is Hosea 6 verse 4. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Some of your translations use the word mist. And it's talking about that mist, that dew that, of course, comes almost every morning. And it's there and it's very visible, it's very real, but then the sun arises and burns it away and it's gone. And the next morning, that mist is there again. And then the sun appears and burns it away, and it's gone. And then it's back the next morning, and then it's gone, and then it's there, and then it's gone. And he said, that's the way your love is. It's here, but then it's gone. Then it comes back for whatever reason. And with the Israelites, a lot of times it was because they would find themselves in distress. they would find themselves being persecuted or suffering for some reason, and they would ask God for forgiveness and plead God to help them. And of course, He's a compassionate God. And so God would help them and deliver them. And then when they were delivered, they would start living a life of ease again, and they would stop loving God. And then they would beg Him for forgiveness again, and He'd forgive them, and then they would stop loving Him again. And it was a vicious circle. And God says it's like the morning dew. It's like that mist that's there, and it's real, but then it goes away. And one of the things that I've emphasized to you on many occasions is that it's that idea of being unstable that is one of the biggest problems we have as the people of God. Particularly individually. Sometimes faithful, sometimes not. Something happens in our life and we realize we need God. It might be something like this virus going around. Something that opens up our eyes and we realize we need God's protection and we need God's providential care. And we start doing good for a while, but then it goes away like that morning dew. And there's some people that just live their lives like that. There are some in the church that are just like that. And we notice some of them. They'll attend faithfully for a little while, and then you can almost predict they're going to be unfaithful sooner or later. And then we don't see them for a while, and then they're back, and then they're gone, and then they're back, and then they're gone. And it's just like that morning dew. That's one of the biggest problems we have. And even when it's not on a large scale situation, we just struggle sometimes with being consistent, with consistently studying the Bible, with consistently praying like we should, with consistently doing the things that can help us be what God wants us to be. The Bible constantly warns us, admonishes us to be grounded in the faith. You remember over in the book of Colossians, I believe it is the second chapter. Turn your Bibles over there just for a moment. Colossians chapter 2, and beginning at verse 6. Colossians, the second chapter, and at verse 6. Paul writes, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Now watch. "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." You see, the emphasis he puts on that. Rooted and built up. We all want to be built up in Christ. But you can't be built up if you're not rooted. That idea of being built up comes when we consistently serve Him. Week in and week out. Month after month. Year after year. Even day after day. We're constantly serving Him. Because we're rooted. And so we're built up. And we're established in the faith. It's like the tree that has roots that run deep. You know, you don't have to worry with that tree about a strong wind coming along and blowing it away. It can withstand all of that because it's rooted. It's grounded. And that's what we need. There's too many Christians, too many children of God. The first strong wind that comes along uproots them and just blows them away because the roots aren't deep enough. We have to determine that we're going to be a people who are grounded in the faith. Not unstable, not wishy-washy. Not tossed to and fro all the time. Listen to what Paul says in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Ephesians the third chapter and at verse 17. He says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasseth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." Paul just had a wonderful way of writing. You just think of all of that he says right there. We want that. We want the ending there, don't we? We want to be filled with all the fullness of God. But that only comes if you apply the beginning. That you may have strength. And he's talking here about, he's praying for them. He's praying that they would have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the life. Where does that strength come from? The verse before talks about being rooted and grounded. If you want that fullness after a while, you have to be rooted and grounded. And that's demonstrated by your consistently serving God in every way. It's the only way we'll make it is if we are consistent in our service. Consistent is the key to everything. Being consistent. I'm quite sure you haven't noticed, but I've taken on a few pounds lately. And I don't like it. And I've determined to lose that weight. And you be proud of me. Last week, one morning I did 100 sit-ups. And not the sissy kind either. I mean, I Googled it. I did the best sit-ups you could do. I was going back and pulling my knees to my chest and extending them and my feet never hitting the ground. I did 100 of those things. I thought to myself, I'll do this every morning and I'll lose this weight no time. Only problem is I haven't done it since. I mean, I'm hoping, but I got off to a good start, but that's not going to help me at all. You can't do that once a week. It's not going to do you any good. You have to be consistent. And it's the same thing spiritually. We have to be consistent. Read your Bible consistently. You can say, oh, I read the whole book of Colossians. Not all that long, but I read the whole book. Well, that's great and wonderful. But if you could say, like I said, well, but I hadn't done that for a year. That's not going to help you very much. You need to study consistently, pray consistently, attend consistently. Do all the things that you know you need to do. You need to work at not being wishy-washy. Be grounded and rooted in the faith. The problem with the Israelites is that they were unstable. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's a problem. That person can't be relied on by God. How many people do we have that God can't really trust? That brethren can't really depend on? Is that you? Is it me? I hope not. We need to work on that. It is a key to not falling. As long as we're serving God consistently, regularly, being grounded and rooted, we won't fall away. But if we become wishy-washy, we may have fallen already. That was the problem with the Israelites. And then there's one more thing, very, very quickly. Back over to Hosea, and this time chapter 7, and the 8th verse. Hosea chapter 7, and at verse 8, now it says, Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. And both of those things are significant, but I just want to talk about the first part there. Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Oh, we've preached many sermons on that. We know the danger of that, and yet we continue to do that sort of thing. Who you hang out with, who you mix with is very significant. It is important. The Israelites fell. They met destruction. They were taken off into captivity because they mixed with the people. God warned them about that. That's why God wanted to drive out all those Canaanites in the very first place. But the Israelites failed to do that. And so they started mixing with the people. And before you know it, they would go off and serve other gods. Just like the people. They even served the god of Molech, you remember. That means that they ended up sacrificing their sons in the fire. Can you imagine that? The people of God sacrificing their children because that's what the people around them did. That's what happens when you mix with the people. But we think, oh, that was the Old Testament. That's those people back there. We're stronger than that. I can mix with the people of this world. They won't have an influence on me. I'm going to influence them. And before you know it, the one thinking like that falls out of favor with God. Because the world is powerful. We remember what Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. And we know that passage, and we can quote that passage. It's important. But we need to apply that passage. Don't conform to the people, but not only should we not conform to the people, we shouldn't mix with the people. I'm not saying we are not to have any contact with the world. We would have to leave the world in order for that to be a reality. But we shouldn't make best friends out of the world. People who don't share our convictions. People, in fact, who despise our Father. Who don't appreciate our Savior. Why would we want to hang out with them and mix with them and allow their way of living to become our way of living? The problem is we don't think it would happen. I guarantee you the Israelites didn't think it would happen. It happened even to Solomon when he married all of those wives who served foreign gods. And before you know it, this man who God blessed with more wisdom than anyone who has ever lived, he ended up going after other gods. Why? He mixed with the people. And that always ends up poorly. We can avoid falling from grace if we spend more time with each other. We hang out and mix with those who all have the same love for the same Father. And serve the same Christ and follow the same Bible. Who are striving to live the same way. That's what's good for us. We can convince ourselves, no, it won't happen. I'm strong enough to handle it. But just think of the Israelites. They mixed with the people and they ended up falling out of favor with God. Those are just three things. We could talk about some other things, even from the book of Hosea here. But those are three things that if we would learn to avoid, that we certainly can stand forever. We don't ever have to fall. I'll not read it now, but there's two or three passages that emphasize we're kept by God. He can keep us from stumbling, keep us from falling. But it's not going to happen miraculously. We have to have the knowledge. We have to study so that we're grounded and rooted in the faith, and we have to be careful who we hang out with. And if we just do those three things, we'll be better off. Let's learn from the fall of Israel. We can fall from grace. I think we know that. But let's not only know it, let's avoid the things that might cause us to fall. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that tonight? You have the opportunity right now. If you're not a Christian, you can be baptized into Christ. Baptism, Peter says, now saves us. It's necessary. It is essential to the salvation of your soul. It is a part of God's plan of salvation. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 at verse 38. You can do that tonight. The water's ready. In just a few minutes, you can be a child of God. Don't put it off. We know right now that life is dangerous, don't we? We know it's not guaranteed. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to anyone. Why not obey the gospel? Hope that you will. Come forward as we together stand and stand.